Hey guys and gals, thanks for tuning into this episode of the Upshift Podcast. What have we learned from the motorcycle community? What has the motorcycle community taught us? Me and Brian talk about that in this episode. Hey, someone, or maybe both of us, have new motorcycles, ATVs, something like that in the garage. You'll find out about it in this episode also. There's some shovel head updates. There's all kinds of stuff. It's all motorcycle talk all the time here on the Upshift Podcast. Thanks for your support. Find us on Instagram at the Upshift Podcast, and you can follow Brian on the Instagram there at the Upshift_NH. Give us a follow on there. Look at the pictures. All we do is post about bikes. We just have a good time. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the support. The Upshift Podcast.
Hello, guys and gals. It's Brian from the Upshift Podcast. Let's talk about Indy Ridge boots. I've been using their gloves with these cold days, and they feel great. You know when you put something on, and it just feels like quality? Well, that's what you get with Indy Ridge. The Upshift guys wear Indy Ridge boots and gloves, and I think you should too. It'll make your riding experience even better.
Hey guys, this is Brian with the Upshift Podcast, and when I ride with CNC Thunder. CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles, 4866 South Main Street, my hometown of Cowpen, South Carolina. Give them a call at 864-463-RIDE. Hey guys, let's talk suspension. When the Upshift guys ride, we ride Suspension Technologies. Check them out at suspensiontechnologies.com. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram at Suspension Technologies. Give Mike and the gang a call at 727-233-3610. Suspension Technologies, manufactured to a standard, not a price. I'd like to thank Mike and the gang for partnering up, being one of our primary sponsors on the podcast this season. You can check them out at Gator Harley-Davidson coming up. That will be April 27th through the 30th down there in Florida. They will set you up with front suspension and rear, give you the whole rundown on why you should run Suspension Technologies on your V-twin. And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast. How you doing, Brian?
What's up, Brian? How you been?
Nothing much, man. Hey, we are back on a regular schedule, getting another episode out for you guys.
Yep, and we are.
And we can hear each other.
Yes.
So our technical difficulties are solved for the moment, we'll say.
For this month.
Yes, we are. It's in the works that we're going to get some better equipment. We've been looking at a few things, and so I don't know if I need to. Could I get a sign and stand like the guys and gals do at the, you know, the corner down here? You know, I'm hungry. We'll work. Well, they never say they'll work, but I'm hungry, and they always got a dog, and they need food. So I say, hey, I do a podcast. I need equipment.
Hey, it's worth a shot. I'd try it, no?
Or could I? Hey, I could do this. I'm broke because I buy motorcycles and motorcycle parts. Can you help me out?
Yes. I mean, if I was walking by, I'd throw you a buck or two.
Yeah, I figured you would, because you understand.
Definitely.
You understand.
Yes. I've been buying motorcycle parts for, you know, heavy for the last few months here, just to give me something to do through these winter months.
Yes, I have too. So winter is not officially over because it did get down into the 30s where I live last night.
Really? It got down to 30s where I am too. But today was about 65 degrees. So the past few days, spring has sprung up in the Northeast.
Awesome. So all the snow's melted.
Yep. Yeah. Except for like some shady areas in the woods that never get the sun, but
Okay.
it's pretty much all gone. The salt is off the roads.
Okay, so you've got a good rain to wash all the salt. Well, good for you.
Yeah, the bikes are out. I've seen a bunch of bikes. I can hear bikes. I can hear
Yes.
the peepers, and
Yep.
it's just feeling like spring.
Yep. And that's, I mean, it seems like we were in Daytona like 6 months ago.
I know, right?
It's been a month, but golly.
I know that. I feel like that was so long ago. Like, jeez.
I know, and there's been, we've had good weather here, and it's usually during the week when I have to work, and then on the weekends when I'm available to go out and play around, it pours rain.
Yeah, that's usually the case.
It always is. It always is. But man, it is. It's good to hear your voice and talk about motorcycles. We
Definitely.
have
Yeah,
an action-packed episode for you guys. And before I go any further, I don't name people that reach out unless they say, hey, name me. But this guy lives close by in my state here in the upstate of South Carolina. And he doesn't ride a Harley, which there's nothing wrong with that. I still own a Honda. You've had Hondas. You have a new Honda. We'll talk about that later.
oh, yeah.
But he loves our podcast and he listens to it on his ride into work. And I'm like, man, I appreciate the support. So you know who you are. And thanks for listening. And if you ever get close by, hit me up. I'll get you some stickers and meet you and shake your hand. And thank you in person for supporting the Upshift
Sounds good. Lucky him.
podcast. Exactly. Lucky him. Lucky us. Look, we get to sit around and talk about motorcycles. You there in New Hampshire, I'm here in South Carolina. But this episode, we're going to ask a question to our listeners. I'm going to ask a question to Brian. Brian's going to ask me questions. We're going to go back and forth. That's kind of how we do it on this. But what have we learned from the motorcycle community? What have you learned, Brian? It teaches us all kinds of things over the years. We've aged and we understand more about the community, being owning a motorcycle and riding it, meeting people, hanging out. But what has it taught us? What has it taught you?
That's a great question. Well, it's taught me a bunch of things. It the motorcycle community is definitely it's almost similar to the car community,
Yes.
where everybody rallies together and you got your friends, they want to help you finish your bike. You help them finish their bike, they help you finish yours. I help them spend money, they spend mine.
Yes. You load them up on trailers, if they break down or if they need to get their bike to Daytona, you take it for them.
I think I've definitely learned the knack of convincing my friends to buy motorcycle parts that they don't necessarily need, but I think it'll be cool.
Because maybe one day they'll be like, I don't want it anymore. Maybe you get your hands on
Yeah, exactly. That
it.
or that's how my buddy Edwin played me. I had the
Yeah.
cock ride and now he's got it.
No, he hasn't. I hope he's taken care of, Edwin. You better be taking care of that. But yeah, so the motorcycle community, and you can kind of group this into one. It means different things to different people, but to me, your local independent shops and your Harley shops, your bike nights, your benefit runs. They don't really do poker runs per se in our state anymore because of the gambling thing, but the biker community and the motorcycle community, both there's bikers, there's motorcyclists, take it as you will. They will band together and put on a benefit or just come together and say, hey, this particular person needs something and we can do it with cash. Hey, will you stop by? Will you give to this? It's easier to do it online now. Used to, it was on Saturday, we're going to hit five different spots and everybody pick a card and do a 50-50. If you've been in the community long enough, you remember that. But, the hog chapters, I know not everybody's, keen and down with the hog chapters, but, and then the local motorcycle events, the swap meets that go on, or the open house at the Harley shop, or, hey, we're having bike day over at this independent shop and we're, doing a sale on tires or what have you. But I mean, the motorcycle community to me I have met so many people. Hey, I know you, Brian.
Yeah, I
because
mean,
of motorcycles. And we talk about that a lot, but it has taught me so much how to be, you know, responsible as a motorcyclist, as far as, you know, I have met people that, hey, I just got a bike. And then they're so excited. Every time I get a bike, or even I ride my bike, I get excited. But that first bike, or, you know, or somebody's dreamed about this for a long time, they're in the position to where they can buy one, and they do it, and you may meet them at bike night or at a shop or at the gas station. And this is me talking, I want to be a good steward to welcome that person, to talk to that person, to encourage them. Hey, yeah, come ride with us. Or maybe they don't want to ride with a group, and you say, hey, you know what? I know a good road, a good beginner road. You could take off by yourself, you know, do it at 8 o'clock on Saturday when there's no traffic, things like that. That's what I'm talking about, being a good member of the motorcycle community, and what does it taught us?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it definitely, motorcycles, you know, everywhere you go, you find someone that has a motorcycle, you have something in common, and then you get to meet people like, you know, the voice of reason who knew a lot more about motorcycles than me. So I learned how to fabricate things. I learned how some motorcycle parts work, and I learned from him. And then, you know, he learned from someone else, and we learned together. So it's like everything's coming together full circle, and working on the bikes, riding the bike. We learn how to ride them. We learn how to adjust the suspension together. And, you know, it's fun. If you have other people, which in the motorcycle community, there's plenty of people.
Yes.
That enjoy the same thing as you, then you can have fun every weekend.
Yeah. And anytime. And I mean, here's another thing. I'll send a picture to Brian of a 79 Ironhead Sportster laying out behind a barn. And he says, don't buy that. You'll regret it. but I go ahead and I buy it anyway. I know we're just being funny, but no. I want the Upshift podcast and Brian to be good stewards of the motorcycle community and always be positive and not negative. I know, actually, I have not received any hate mail from the last podcast when we said that Slingshot is not a motorcycle. So maybe Slingshot riders don't listen to us.
Oh, no, I just think they realize that it's not a motorcycle.
and mopeds aren't a motorcycle either, but...
Oh, can I tell you a story about a moped that I had?
Oh, by all means, this is a storytelling podcast.
All right. So, I bought from one of the guys I used to do deliveries to, and he had a Honda Ruckus. It was a brand new Honda Ruckus. Mm-hmm. He had bought it. He put about 400 miles on it. He didn't like it. He used it to get the mail and back and forth. So I thought, hey, I'll buy that Honda Ruckus. That seems like it'd be pretty fun. So I paid $1,700 for this Honda Ruckus. It was black.
Okay.
So I got it home. I did my thing to it. Sticker bombed it where your feet go and put a bunch of stickers on it.
Did you stretch it and put the soup can muffler on?
No, I didn't. I didn't do any modifications, just sticker mods.
Okay, yeah, easy.
So, yeah, so I went, got it registered, got my little license plate, and I think it was...
You registered it, so it was street legal.
Yeah, it was street legal. You could go on roads that were 35 miles an hour and less.
Okay.
Couldn't go on any of the big roads. So I get it registered, get my little plate, and it's a fall day. It's probably about 40 degrees. I took that for one ride from my house to my mother's house. It was probably 9 miles back roads and back, and I sold it. I traded that Honda Ruckus for the very motorcycle that I tell you not to buy. It was a ninth, I don't even know what year it was, Ironhead Sportster.
Oh, gosh.
I traded my Ruckus. Yeah, I remember me and the voice of reason, we love these road trips to go on things. It's like the best thing. So I remember one afternoon I called him up. I said, I got some guy that's going to trade me the Ruckus for an Ironhead Sportster. For some reason, I wanted an Ironhead at the time.
Yeah, you'd never had one, I'm assuming.
No, I never had one.
Okay, you didn't know.
If I had one, I definitely wouldn't have traded my Honda Ruckus, brand new Honda Ruckus, for it.
Yeah.
But we drive all.
Good deal.
Yeah, we drive all the way to Rhode Island to get this Sportster. So we get there, the thing's barely running. The guy tells us some story. I rode this thing from Connecticut all the way home, flying, you know, wide open. It sounds great, blah, blah, blah. And then I got a home, and I actually I bought a Flyrite rigid frame for it. Remember them?
Yes.
Flyrite choppers. So I bought a rigid frame for him. I got it all together. I don't even know. I remember taking pictures of me sitting on it, and I looked really goofy because I'm tall.
Yes. And, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had all the parts. I had the fenders. I had pretty much had everything together. I don't think I ever started it, and I just didn't want anything to do with it. So I sold it to some guy, Bruno. I'm pretty sure his name was Bruno.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Oh, he got really mad at me because.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah. He's still mad to this day.
Oh, I bet you. So it gets better. So I sold it to him. He lives on an island. So he had to come over from the island and get it. And anyways, he picked it up. And everything was good that day. He was my best friend that day.
Yeah, of course.
And then 2 months later, he calls me and tells me that the transmission is blown up. I had to have known. I told him, I said, I rode it around the block. And then I put it into this frame. And he says, you had to have known. He was very, very mad at me. Mm. So I kind of just calmed him down and said, all right, whatever. And then, to make things worse, I go to a chopper show up in New Hampshire during Laconia. And who do I run into? Friggin' Bruno.
Bruno, Ironhead Sportster guy.
Yeah. So he comes up to me and says, hey, the least you could do was buy me a beer. I said, okay, Bruno. I never bought him a beer.
Yeah, Bruno's still hunting you down. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, Bruno's he still has that iron head and he's pissed off.
God, poor guy. I mean, I feel for him. I had a 79 iron head Sportster.
Really? I mean, I don't know why I question that.
Yes. I mean, I've owned everything but a trike and a V-Rod. But, yes, I did, and I was told not to buy it. I was told multiple times by my good buddy Joey. And then I opened my mouth up at the Harley shop, and they're like, don't buy that. And I'm like, but it's cheap. And they're like, it doesn't matter if it's free. And they're all looking at me, like, shaking their head, like, no. Like I'm about to jump off the cliff, and they're like, no, you don't need to do that. And guess what I did? I went and bought it.
Yeah, of course you did.
I did. And for 2.5 years, I bought parts and worked out of this guy's shop, Joey. And that bike ended up in Easy Rider magazine and a trophy, and I still have the trophy.
Nice. Whenever I see an Ironhead Sportster at a bike night or something, I always just, you know, picture them not making it home and that bike being on the side of the road.
I'm on Marketplace. I don't know. If there's 24 hours in a day, I'm on it for 23. And I'll hit Sportster, you know, the little search engine, just to see what's out there. And there's always an Ironhead Sportster that pops up. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the South. Maybe it happened to you. You tell me. But maybe it happens up where you live. But they're always sitting outside. And it has rained recently. And the mud is all over.
Oh, that is my favorite thing on Marketplace. Some guy has a 2021. Or no, let's just say it's a, you know, 05, 06, something. And this guy wants top dollar for this motorcycle. So he's like, he puts it on Marketplace and he can't even be bothered to pull it out of the garage full of crap to take a picture of it.
Yeah. And all you can see is the back fender.
Yeah. See the back fender, the front fender, and maybe the kickstand. Like, wow. I really want to bring my $12,000 to you.
But on the other side of that, and we're giving away secrets, but I have went and bought motorcycles with that picture because I saw something in there that intrigued me. And I was like, I have the time, I'm going. And I have ended up with motorcycle on the trailer in the back of my truck coming home. But there have been times when I came back empty-handed.
Oh, yeah. I've come back empty-handed because, you know, I try to examine the photos as much as I can.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I know every detail by the time I get there.
Yeah. And that's another thing while we're talking about being a good member of the motorcycle community is if you're going to sell something, be honest about it. If it has bad tires, let me know up front. I'm talking to a gentleman right now about a motorcycle, an FXR. And I said, can I ride it back home? We're probably 160 miles from where I'm at. And he's like, nope. He said, I own six motorcycles. It probably has the tires from the 90s. And I was like, well, thanks for being honest. I appreciate that. He goes, no, it will. I wouldn't ride it. I'm like, okay, well, great. I'm going to drive all the way down there and then say, oh, this is not road ready and probably the deal won't get done. But so he told me that up front. So here, possibly in the next, I'll say a few weeks. I'm still trying to work out the details. This is the one I sent you a picture of the other day.
Oh, okay. Yep. I like that one. And
Really cool.
what is it with you? It seems like every single bike you get, the tires are not up to par for you. Are you a tire snob?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, we can tell stories all night long. I found one on Marketplace. Oh gosh, this is as Marketplace was becoming more and more of a thing, and Craigslist was going away. And so I was like, "Hey, send me your number." The guy sends me his number, and he's not too far away, like maybe an hour, like two counties away. And I'm like, "Tires okay?" And he goes, "Yeah." He's like, "They were bought last summer." Okay. So, and we're in the spring, so I'm thinking, well, we'll say they're a year old in my mind. I get down there, they were bought 7 summers ago. Yeah, pictures are deceiving. So,
Yes.
if you're going to post something up on Marketplace or, I even, have you been on Craigslist lately?
You know, I had a minute there where I was going back on to Craigslist because I was desperate trying to find a three-wheeler.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I have not been on since.
Yeah, I got on last week just, because you can do a nationwide search. And after about 45 minutes of it not really putting the search that I used to do, I was like, okay, I'm over this. So I went local and it was all used bikes, but at dealerships.
Yeah, oh, that's the thing. It's a bunch of dealerships, and it's the same bikes you see on Marketplace. They just post them on.
So yeah, and should I give this secret about Marketplace? If you spell something wrong, like Harley Johnson, or leave off something in Davidson, sometimes things will pop up.
Yeah, you could put instead of Harley, if you put Harky Davidson.
So yeah, I do that, or I put in Touring Harley or Harley Touring, or I have put in Low Rider FX and pulled up FXR stuff.
Yeah,
But
used to put in Triumph Chopper Bobber when I was into Triumphs, and that usually pulled up a bunch of stuff.
speaking of Marketplace, here we go again. I saw some mirrors the other day, and I'm like, I want those mirrors. That's a collection I've been collecting. It's obsolete from Harley. So I send a message, and I'm like, I'll come out there tomorrow. And message me back, great, no problem. So I go on my motorcycle. Well, when I get there's all kinds of parts. So I pretty much had to put what I could in my motorcycle, and I went back the next day in the car and got the rest. So, and then I went yesterday. And I've bought a seat again for a motorcycle I do not own yet.
Oh, I love it when that happens.
Yeah, so I have a Evo, so yeah, a lowrider seat or a Super Glide for an Evo, so up to 98.
Nice.
And it's almost in mint condition. And I got a Road King seat. And pretty good, like very good condition, an obsolete seat, the two-piece seat. for the Road King that I currently own.
Yeah, we will get into that. So let me give you one last marketplace story, a very recent
marketplace stories. I love these.
All right. So I've been looking for a four-wheeler. I don't know why I wanted a four-wheeler, but it had to be a Honda.
Yeah. Why, okay. Before you go, why did you want a four-wheeler?
It's one of those things you get in your head, like you wanted an Ironhead Sportster.
Okay. I'm just checking. I thought so, but I'm just okay. Go ahead.
Plus, I want four-wheel drive one, so I could go out and make trails in my backyard, and I could put a plow on it because we get that snow stuff here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So I finally narrowed it down to a Honda 4-Trax 350.
Okay.
I've seen a few of them come on Marketplace. And I save them, and then they're gone. They're sold instantly. They've been selling fast.
Yeah, they're hot on them.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, geez. So I find one. It looks clean in the pictures. So I'm like, I can't go tonight, but I can go tomorrow. Let me just message him. So I message him. Says, yeah, great. Come on. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Sound good? Sounds good. I'm like, all right. Then about an hour later, I get a message from him. How serious are you? I have a guy that wants to come tonight and buy it, but you were the first one that contacted me, so I want to honor your first response or something like that.
That's a good guy right there.
Yeah, so I said, you know what? I said, I'm serious. I've been watching these, and they've been going. I didn't say that, but
yeah,
in my head. So I said, you know what? I'm serious. I will be there at 9 a.m. So next morning comes, me and Voice of Reason go down to...
Of course.
Bus, yeah, we meet up at the Harley dealer. We go to his house. You know, it is what it is. It's clean. It's a 1986.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's clean. He put some new tires on it. He was a mechanic. He had his own shop out front, car mechanic.
Oh okay.
Yeah, so it sounds good. It's got a little bit of a tick to it. It almost sounds like a diesel, but I think that I've been looking it up. I think it's just a cam. Cam chain's a little loose, so it might be tapping, which is not a big deal.
Okay.
Could be a big deal. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, we will find out. And I wish I asked him what that was. I almost thought it just sounded kind of normal. And then the more I've been riding it, I'm like, it's not that normal, but it's not that bad. It doesn't make it run any different.
Okay. So it's not like twin cam with the tensioner cam trouble and all that.
No, it's not a twin cam swapped Honda. But everybody says these Hondas are like tanks. They go through four-wheel drive all the time. It'll go through anything and they last forever. So, but it is clean. I cleaned it up. I got the plastic shining.
Yeah, so yeah.
I'm almost afraid to take it in the mud now.
That's what you bought it for. But hey, you do detail, so Brian's detail can detail it once it gets muddy.
Oh yeah, and I've been detailing, you know. That's how it is. You know, you got a new shiny thing in the garage. All my attention is on that four-wheeler. So
yeah.
I almost forgot about the shovel head being all apart.
You've got all the different projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, is there a rule that we should finish one project before we buy another one?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so because, I mean, if I go buy this other bike, it's not really a project, but I know I'm going to do things to it.
Well, you have to. I mean, you got to Brianize it.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it needs the what I'm. I mean, yes. I mean, I'm collecting parts for it, and I don't even own it yet.
It needs tires.
It's why we definitely know it needs tires.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've actually already priced them, and you know, of course, it's going to once the wheels are off, then. Does the spokes need truing? Do they need to be taken out? It's just a laundry list.
I have some 9-spoke wheels for that thing if you want it.
Really? I wonder how that would look with the raked out front end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So let me talk about my shovel head because I'm a little.
Yes, upset. Let's get into. Okay, so we'll finish up with be a good steward of the motorcycle community, what it's taught us, what we're giving to it. Be honest on Marketplace and
take good pictures.
Yes, but yeah, we'll dive into Shovelhead. This is another project, but you've had this bike we've talked about it before, but and you can go back and listen to, I don't know, probably 6 or 8 episodes ago where you talk about how you got it and all that, but it's going through its third transformation?
Oh, at least third.
Okay. So give us a rundown, and at the end of this, we're going to tell why we're doing it. While you're doing it, not me, but while you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you go back a few episodes, it's the episode where it came out of the basement and went back into the shop.
Yes.
So, all right. So, yeah, I got to put, no, it's not a huge makeover. I'm just pretty much changing the rear fender and the tank. But I got it all fabbed up and everything's ready to go. And I bring it to the powder coater. And this guy, talk about no sense of urgency whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I bring it to him and I say, you know, I give him the color. I'm like, you have this color here. He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so how long? He's like, I'm out 2 weeks right now. I'm like, all right, 2 weeks, whatever. So two weeks goes by, and it's the day. You know, I dropped it off a Wednesday. You know, 2 weeks later on that Wednesday, I don't even want to go to the shop because I know it's not going to be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think I wait until the next day. So I go on a Thursday. I walk in there. What do I see? My tank and fender sitting in the same exact spot that I put them.
Yep.
When I dropped them off.
Yep.
So I was like, what's up, dude? And he's, oh, I'm busy. How about Friday? Next Friday. So this Thursday. So he's like, next Friday. So another week.
Okay.
And then he starts to tell me, say, oh, I had someone work for me. They came in and then there was a big fight and now he doesn't work here.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, so all right. And then he's like, you still want to work here? Maybe sandblast some parts for me at night? I'm thinking, you want me to work here? I'm going to be here alone. You're never here. No, I don't want to work here. I mean, I thought about it because I could probably get, you know, free if I brought in my stuff, I could just powder coat it if I worked there.
Or just work there for the week that you need your powder coating done, and then...
Yeah, all right, I gotta go.
I mean, you might get a bad reputation in the powder coating industry by doing that, but...
Yeah, I might have to find a different powder coater. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if his prices are reasonable or not, but... He didn't charge me, like, for... It's just a sports the tank and a rear fender that I kind of cut up. So it's two pieces... And I think it's $350 he's charging me.
Oh, wow.
And that gets sandblasted, a primer, the color that I want with a clear. So he's got to put it in the oven a few times.
Okay. You put a primer on that?
Yeah, that's it. He said he puts a primer on it.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
He does good work, though. He did the wheels on my FXR.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Those look pretty cool.
And they came out awesome. I love that color. Hint, hint. That could be the color of the shovel head. I don't know.
I'm making a note of that.
So yeah, the shovel head's going. I got some new spark plug wires. Yeah, we're really putting on the big mods right now.
Okay.
Spark plug wires, new handlebars. Oh yeah, new handlebars, new risers.
Tank fender. Or you don't run a front fender.
Nope. I think I might. There's no front brake and nothing. It's just the spool wheel up there. I think I might run. I don't know. I'd have to get some. I shaved those lower legs, so I'd have to get new lower legs.
Man.
Yeah, that's. I don't really think this bike is going to be ridden all that much. So
yeah, it's just a putt around, and yeah. It would be awesome to haul it to Daytona or to. Man, I thought about that. I was like, what if you know I do? Because I would not ride. I mean, you can. People do it. I've seen them. Like. An FXR across the country to Sturgis.
Yeah. There's a...
Not a mechanic, so I do not want to be on the side of the road trying to fix something I don't know how to fix.
Yeah.
But load it up and haul it out there.
There's a select few guys that do that. And, you know, that's the thing. They don't have, like, real jobs. They have jobs where they flip bikes. Yeah. So they're kind of, they don't really have to, you know, they just go into their friend's house, hanging out. You know, it's kind of them making it cross country. They're not doing it in a day. And, yeah, I'm a little jealous of that lifestyle, I think.
Yeah, I would like to do it. So you're doing all this on the shovel head, and it will make its debut when?
I'm hoping for the smoke out.
The smoke out. Yes. Salisbury. The real deal smoke out in Salisbury, North Carolina, September 7th through the 10th.
Yep.
At the Rowan County Fairgrounds. And this is real choppers and real motorcycle people. We will be there.
Could it be like 100 degrees with 89% humidity?
Possibly.
Awesome. Awesome.
It was 70 degrees and 100% chance of rain. And it ended up being, it rained for about 3 days. I think it may have cleared up. I think it cleared up about the time I got home and I opened up Instagram, because I only live right at 2 hours from there.
That's not
bad. It cleared up. The sun never did come out. It just quit raining.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a washout. I only made it for one day, but no, we're going to be there. And they've extended it. So it's basically, it's 3 days as you look at, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Oh, excuse me, 4 days, basically. But it's people will be coming in from all over the country that whole week.
Yeah,
there was a guy that rode from like Washington State, and he got there on like Monday, and he camped out all the way through. Yeah, the 2 weeks leading up to it was some of the best weather we had had in September.
Of course, right?
Yeah, it always is. But yeah, that is going to be a jam up, and it's not a rally. It's just motorcycle people, choppers. It's awesome. And there's a little bit of riding around there, but it's more of the destination, like Daytona or something like that.
Yeah.
You'll see some cool stuff. Probably things that you don't see on Instagram. A lot of people that come to this don't have Instagram. They don't have Facebook. A lot do, but you're going to see some stuff that's the only place you're going to see it is at the smokeout.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That'll get you there.
Yeah. I mean, think about, you know, you things that we see on Instagram. Oh, this guy's building this bike. That is going to be killer. And then you see it at Daytona. You're like, wow, that's awesome. But not to take away from that, but hearing about something, hey, this guy's building this shovelhead chopper for the smokeout. And you don't see nothing till you get there and see it in person.
Yep.
That's what I like about it. But yes, yeah, smoke out. So is there, you're not doing anything to the wheels or the pipe on that bike, are you?
Nope. Still the same spoke wheel.
Okay. Okay.
Just cool. All changes.
Okay. I'm excited. Are you, you've put pictures up on Instagram. Are you going to do like a, this is how it started. You going to do little updates for us?
Possibly. Not much of an update. So I got some decals for the tank. So I'm going to get the tank back, put the decals on, take it for a ride around the block, take some pictures, and bring it back.
Okay.
Yeah, but what'd you say? You had a new bike?
Yes. Yes, I did. A new to me. Oh, see, yeah. When I look at motorcycles, I see motorcycles that not necessarily been neglected, but are not being ridden and they need a good home. And I begin to feel sorry for them and I form a bond over Marketplace or wherever I see them. And then I have to buy them and bring them home.
So, you know how like, you know, old ladies, old girls, single girls, they become crazy cat ladies. Have you become like the crazy motorcycle man?
Yeah, basically. Yes, I am. And it all has to go with, I like something that's different. Now, this is not a huge difference, but it is a 98 Police Road King. So it's white, Police white, with the side covers are black.
So does it have the hard bags?
Yes, it has the hard bags, but guess what I have? I have the black hard bags. I have a almost mint set upstairs in my parts lot that are going on this bike. So it will be white and black.
Skunk. I like it.
Yep. So it's and I'm putting apes on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I kept the black nacelle. I put so far I've just put the LED headlight in it.
Okay.
The back fender is in the middle of being taken off because I have taken off the hoop on the back and I'm moving the tag underneath the light.
You don't like the hoop, huh?
I don't. I like the clean fender and I like the tag down low. It just sticks up and it just looks odd.
Doesn't fit your eye. Okay.
Yeah, just, yeah. And like I said, I went and bought a Rode King Solo seat. I had another seat for it, but it just didn't look right.
Yeah. That's another thing I learned about motorcycles. Like, hey, that's your style. I'm not going to, hey, you, if that's the way you like your bike, that's the way you like it.
That's what I love walking around in the parking lot, you know, at bike week or bike night or anywhere and looking at what, it may not be my flavor, but it's cool that somebody's idea came out. And I'm not doing anything nobody else has ever done, but I kind of like the black nacelle. I ended up with the LED headlight and the passing lamps are black.
Okay.
So it all kinds of matches. And I'm still keeping the chrome bars. I'm going to do, I don't know if I'm going to go 10 or 12. 8. I haven't, once I get the seat on there and I take it out, because I've only ridden it once. I came straight into the garage and I started taking, you know, stuff off and cleaning it. I'm going to put some slip-ons. I'm not going crazy with stuff. Just little bitty knickknacks. It only has 41,000 miles on it. It's been... So I'm basically the third owner, but the very first owner bought it with just a few thousand miles on it.
Yeah, because the police bikes, they don't keep them long.
Well, this never was in service at a police department. It was bought at a dealership.
Oh, okay.
And then it was, I'm assuming, traded back in. And then this one guy got it. And when he passed away, his cousin got it. And that's who I bought it from. So okay. I would basically be the fourth owner. Excuse me. I think that's how it worked. I was trying to go back. I have a ton of paperwork on it. I went through some of it, trying to decipher it out with mileage and what was done. But, yeah. I've actually seen some pretty cool wheels, but I'm like, I kind of like the wheels that are on it. They're stock, and, you know, I want to keep it somewhat plain, but, you know, kind of do, you know, what I would like on it.
Okay. Keep that windshield, or are you going to go with like a Memphis Shades?
No, I like the windshield. I'm actually going to go with the Clockworks. They do a Rode King windshield.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and it looks really good, and it'll, because I'm going to ride it. I'm going to take it on trips. You know, overnight trips, little trips. Hopefully, I'll have it all put together by this weekend.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah,
What about suspension?
I have a stock CVO suspension to put on it. I'm probably going to have to call Mike and get some suspension technology for it. I've been trying to hold off on the telephone to call him. But yeah, Mike, if you're listening, yeah, I'll probably call to get some suspension. But yeah, I just had some laying there in the old parts bin, and I'll stick on there for the time being. And like I said, I'm buying all these parts on Marketplace. Like, I have a cool set of the CVO, it's the brushed aluminum floorboards.
Yep.
And the pegs. I have that whole set, and it fits. It fit, you know, come off of a 21 CVO, it fits right up on that bike. So I'm going to put those on. I'm going to keep the engine guard on it. I'll buy some mounts for the highway pegs. Like I said, I definitely will need some taller bars on it. I thought about doing some T-bars on it, but I'm like, I got a bike with T-bars. I'm going to go some apes on this.
Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
That was always my problem. I'd build the same bike over again, and it's like...
I love yes. it. Hey, speaking of that, I ran into a guy here recently, past couple of weeks, and I was like, oh, man, you're still riding? He goes, yeah, I just bought a brand new bike, and he's this is about now. He's standing beside me. I'm like, well, the last time I saw you had a black bike, it was yes, I went 2 years newer, but I bought black. And I couldn't tell one difference. No. I didn't tell him that. But Well, I probably did. I don't know. We got to laughing about it. He goes, yeah, I just wanted to upgrade. I'm like, well, this is a lateral move because your bike was only 2 years old. I think he got the nicer radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the push button, or all them fancy, touchscreen radios. That's for those rich guys and those new bikes.
CVO on a...
Yeah. I'll have some CVO parts on this bike. So, I mean, do I get up front parking?
Well, depends on who the valet guy is. If he knows motorcycles, you might.
Yes. So, yeah, I bought an old 98 police road. And here's another thing I really like is the Harley-Davidson police air cleaner cover still on it.
Yep. That was on my Cop Glide, too.
It's just cool. That old round Evo cover is just so cool. And I've always liked it. And they bring crazy money on eBay. I was just looking at police parts. And I have a police box to put on it. I don't think I'm going to run a box.
That'd be cool.
With a solo seat. But yeah, that's my new purchase. And you bought a Honda. I bought another Harley. Are you looking at anything else?
No, not at the moment. Unfortunately, the garage is a little bit full right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've been trying to swap things around, trying to figure out the best way to have everything in the garage. Because I'm like OCD about that. If everything's not good and I can walk around everything, and in my mind, it's like I have to be able to get the FXR and the Road Glide out. I can't be moving stuff around.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's getting a little cramped in there. I'm going to have to build another shed just to put the four-wheeler out there.
Build another shop.
Yeah.
Or room, because your main shop is getting full. So maybe you should just build a whole brand new shop.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And then, then the wife would be able to park in the garage for once in her life.
Yeah.
And she might be happy. So
there you go. Brownie points. Talking about brownie points, I don't know how I can relate this, but do we need to start a support group for people like us? Guys and gals who go broke for buying motorcycles and motorcycle parts?
I think we start a Patreon. And then, so we cut it off, and then in that 30 minutes, we just talk about, hi, my name's Brian. I am addicted to buying motorcycles off Marketplace.
And parts to bikes I don't own. I'm thinking about doing a sticker. So we did a sticker for Daytona. Did the little I Love Motorcycles Daytona. They were really small, stick on your helmet. If you want any, reach out. We'll send you out some. We have a bunch left. But I thought about doing that. We're going to do a sticker for Laconia. Just when you see us in Laconia, we'll announce where we're going to do a meetup and do a ride. We didn't do one in Daytona. It's just so many things going on there.
Daytona's a tough spot for that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think Laconia would be better for that. I think we should do some stickers for that, and it'd be I just wrote this down. We love motorcycles and we are broke. I mean, it's short and simple, but we'll talk about that. But yeah, I had wrote that down to throw that out at you. But as we move along here in the episode, I got another question for you. And I sent you the notes, but and you kind of do this, but I'm asking this: would you buy an off-road dual sport? Would you buy a Pan America? Would you buy the Honda, what is it, the 450? It's an older one.
Africa Twin?
Well, the Africa Twin, that's more new. I would definitely buy one of those. I'm going to have to grow 3 inches to get up on it unless somebody's there to give me a shove. But I've kind of dabbled around the marketplace looking at Enduros is what I would call them.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a Supermoto, and I've had some of the best times on that bike. I mean, you can just, I bought it with the dreams of riding down the road and seeing a trail and just jumping onto the trail and then going through and coming out somewhere else. But
okay.
I never did take the trails, but you know, me and Bob, we both had supermotos, and yeah, it was like riding a dirt bike on the street. So every time I rode it, I felt like I was going to get chased by the cops.
Yeah, and with the supermoto, you're basically, I mean, you just got your helmet, what's in your pocket. So there's really no traveling on it. It's more of a little day adventure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There was definitely, we brought him up to Laconia one time and we rode around the lake. And I remember after we finished, we pulled into like a Cumberland Farms and we got off the bikes and we could barely move. We were,
Yeah. I've been looking at just a few, you know, they're kind of inexpensive, but then I'm like, okay, they're inexpensive for a reason. You know, it's an 80. Okay, you said your four-wheeler was an 85, 86, 87, whatever it was, and it still runs me. I don't know enough about these older bikes to dabble in that. And then, you know, so I'm thinking, well, would I buy a Pan America? Would you buy a Pan America?
I would definitely buy a Pan America. I saw one at the Harley dealer. Well, I mean, I've seen a bunch of them, but they're really cool.
They're awesome. The demos were at both dealerships here close to me. And I stopped by both of them. I didn't ride. Just stopped by and talked to the guys and gals that were out there. And one was right there next to the tent. And I was walking all the way around it. And that's what got it in my mind. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I like my Road Glide, my Road King, you know, Dino or another, you know, FXR. Would it get, if I bought it and spent, they're 20 grand.
Yep.
Would I give it the attention? Because I've only ridden my Heritage one time this season. You know, and I love that bike. If I had the, it would hurt my feelings to pay the money. Because, I mean, I see them used out there, but, I mean, goodness, for just a few dollars more, a new one, and they're on the dealership floor. I've been in a few dealerships, and they're there for sale. There's no wait list. You know, I'm back and forth. Not that I'm in the market right this second. I wouldn't give up my Road Glide for it. Okay, so yeah, here's another question. You got, and I've probably asked you this before, but you got the Road Glide sitting there, or you got the Pan America, but you can only keep one. What are you doing?
Yes, I don't know. I'd have to ride a Pan America to really.
Okay, yeah, I've ridden one.
Yeah, so I don't think so. The Road Glide just.
Okay, then I know what we're doing in Laconia.
Test riding the Pan America.
We're going to the Speedway. You're going to break tradition. Go to the Speedway during Laconia Bike Week. They call it Motorcycle Week. And you're going to ride the Pan America.
All right. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Okay, then. Yeah, that's what you're going to do. Now, if you leave there and go straight to the dealership and buy one, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, you own quite a few motorcycles, and I do too, and I try to give them all the same attention.
I do too.
I mean, I have my Road Glide. I will ride it to Laconia. I will ride it to Sturgis. It's going on another trip. I had planned and everything was set to go, and I was going to the Club Style there in Myrtle Beach for their meetup, but it monsoon rained and the wind, we had 50-mile-an-hour gust, and I'm like, no, I'm just not going to put myself through that. And they were calling for, because it was only 250 miles from here. They were, so I followed the weather down there, and they were getting as many alerts as I was here, so I stayed home. But hopefully I'll make one of those. But, I mean, man, that's a tough call. I mean, if I had unlimited funds, I'd have a Goldwing and a Pan America.
Yep. Oh, but, yeah. I mean,
you know, and 12 FXRs and a V-Rod. I still look for V-Rods. I want a V-Rod. I will buy a V-Rod. At one, I will.
I think there's plenty of them for you to buy. I mean, I'm sure.
There are. And that's funny. When I go into an older dealership, they always have a – it's this one I like to stop at. And I haven't been in there since last spring, but they have a little bucket over there with, you know, markdown, discount, and there's always three or four V-Rod parts and accessories in there. And I've never bought one. I'm like, I should buy some of this. For what? You don't own one yet, but one day you will. This is so crazy, but I just saw a whole set of nice, expensive hard saddlebags for a V-Rod with the mounting and everything on it. And I'm like, you don't need that, Brian. So I cleared out of it and went and done something else.
Well, I mean, Bob was just telling me that the 10 most dangerous motorcycles on the planet, the V-Rod was on there because supposedly if you enter a corner and you hit a certain angle, the frame can bend or something, and it will flip you right off the motorcycle.
Really?
Don't quote me on that, but the 10 most dangerous motorcycles, it is on that list. For like, if you're entering a corner and it's at a certain angle, something will happen and cause major damage.
Well, I'm going to have to look that up.
You got to look that up, because I wish I looked it up after he told me about it, but I never did.
I'm sure that Hayabusa and VMAX is on there.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, in my brain, the V-Rod doesn't really enter my brain, but when you started talking about it, it re-entered my brain, and I thought about that.
They have a cult following. I mean, they're huge in Europe still.
Yeah. I just saw one the other day, the guy taking off on one. He was in love.
Yeah, I saw one literally at bike night last week. I walked by and I'm like, I'm going to walk back over there and look at that bike. Because I hadn't not laid eyes on one in a while. So I'm like, I'm going to look at it. And I did. And it was cool. I mean, they come out like in 2002.
Yeah. So
20 years, 22 years, 21 years. Wow. 21 years ago. Wow. That's hard to believe. They come out. I mean, they were ridiculous when they, I mean, it was so far out of the box from Harley that, I mean, I remember when the dealership got one, I went down there and they let me ride it, and it was crazy. And I just, you know, I said one day I will own one. So yeah, if anybody knows where a good quality, good, you know, not boogered up, you know, not everybody and their brothers had their hands in it, V-Rod, I'm interested. You know, I need another motorcycle.
Oh, you go to any of the, I had my local Harley dealer calling me, inviting me to they had a 120th spring event open house thing at all the houses. Did you go to one?
I went to two of them. Matter of fact, they were back-to-back weekends when it was raining. Yes, I went to both of them, and they handed out stickers, and they had sales of some sort, and they had demos. Yeah, so yeah, I went and looked at all the goodies that they had. But I know they're releasing new bikes while we're up there in Milwaukee.
I hope so too.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good time too. But hey, let's talk about, God, we have talked for, if you've been listening this long, thank you. We just ramble on about all sorts of stuff. But yes, we will be in Laconia. That's June 10th through the 18th. I will be there the 10th through the 15th. And Brian lives there, so he'll be there the whole entire time.
Yep, I'll be there because there's some good shows happening. So
I saw a few things pop up. They haven't really set up the dates and kind of the details, and we'll get those out to you guys. But yeah, we're going to do a meetup over there. We're going to hang out with our guys over at Suspension Technologies.
Yeah, let's talk about Suspension Technologies, because they're going to be in Laconia, and they're going to be doing free installs all week again.
Yep.
So if you have any doubts, anything that you want to ride better quality suspension, don't hesitate. Go ask them. You know, don't just go there and buy them. Go ask Mike.
Yeah. And ask him. Here's the thing. Walk up to the booth. Those guys will stop what they're doing. And they're not selling you anything. They're telling you why their suspension is quality, a good price point, and why you want your bike to ride better. And they will ask you questions. They're not, oh, you need this. They'll be like, okay, you ride this way, two up, this, you know, they'll ask you all that. And I'll be like, okay, so you need to set it this way. I mean, they will go through the whole list. And it's different for everybody. Not everybody rides two up. Some people ride two up, loaded down, always on a trip.
So you will enjoy your motorcycle more.
Yeah. So when the upshift guys ride, we ride on suspension technology. So yeah, I'll have to put some on the old Road King to make it ride good, because they can make old bikes ride good because they ride horrible, and they can make new bikes. I mean, think about it. You have to. This is so crazy. You go into the dealer and you buy a $30,000 motorcycle, and the first thing you got to do is make it breathe better and make it perform better. And when I say perform, I mean handle the corners and the curves like it's made to do.
Hopefully not death wobble.
Yeah, gosh, no. Yeah, and you have to do that with suspension. Yeah. I would say before anything, get the suspension, because then that will tell you, okay, I don't need bars, or yeah, I need bar, and maybe I need a seat.
Maybe. Right. Suspension is definitely underrated, because it's, you don't really, you not see it if you're on a bagger, and it definitely, it makes a difference. It's well worth the money.
Yes. Yeah, it's a game changer. It will be like buying a new motorcycle. And on top of that, getting a good quality tire. And not buying the El Cheapos because they were El Cheapo.
They're El Cheapos for a reason.
Yeah, yes. But yeah, if you have any doubt, reach out to myself or Brian through Instagram or Facebook. We will put you in touch with Mike. You can call them directly. Email them. SuspensionTechnologiesUSA.com.
I remember one of my friends told me, buy nice or buy twice. And I've always lived by that statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of buying suspension, so we have suspension technologies on our road glides. And you had some takeoff suspension. Have you got rid of those yet?
They actually haven't quite made it home yet. They're still in Edwin's bags at his house.
So maybe they're on one of his motorcycles.
I would. Yeah. He does have. Let's see. Yeah, I think he has those shocks already. So I'll put them on Marketplace and move them on to the next person.
Move them on to the next guy. Yeah, but yes, Laconia, we will be there. We will be having a good time, and we will be riding. We will do a meetup. We will see all the sights and sounds. Brian will ride a Pan America. I will probably ride a Pan America and probably a Sportster and a Heritage. And we'll just spend all day out there. We'll eat hot dogs, hang out with the guys and gals at all the little vendor spots and do demos all day.
Yep. So,
yeah. All right. Good time.
Well, we've, like you like to say, we've rambled on about motorcycles, but I need to know, before we leave.
Okay.
What's in your saddlebag?
What is in my saddlebag? Have I purchased anything new for my saddlebag? I did purchase this. I was given this when I was in Daytona at the AMA tent, and it is a nice little zipper case that I can keep, they say, important papers, but I keep my Upshift podcast stickers in it so they don't get bent or stuffed down in the bottom of my saddlebag. And I keep my registration and little things like that that I may need to get to pretty quick. It's just a little zipper pouch. It's kind of a hard case, and it's easy to grab rather than it being in the very bottom of your saddlebag. So, yeah, and I have quite a few of those over the years. I've bought little things. But, yeah. That's what's in my saddlebag, just so it's easy to grab when I need to grab it. What is in your saddlebag?
Well, I think I've talked about this before, but I just did it again tonight. You got to keep an air pressure gauge.
Yes,
Because, I don't know, I pulled out one of the Mustangs, and I looked at the tires. They looked low. So I went around them all, and then I looked over at the FXR, and my rear tire had 20 PSI in it.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Fill that one up, and then I'm like, all right, the Rogue. It almost was like, so the valve stem was perfect on the FXR. I can get
you had it.
I look over at the Rogue Glide. There's the valve stem. I'm like, let me check that one. I even went up to the front tire on the FXR. Shovelhead didn't quite get that attention, but it will.
Definitely.
So yeah. So definitely air pressure gauge. And I went to my local Chop Chop Cycles the other day.
Okay.
Talked to him about putting some cams in and stuff, and bought a T-shirt from him, and I got some Shineworks.
Okay.
And I put that stuff on. That stuff is nice. I haven't even ridden the bike yet, but it smells good. It goes on good, so I can't wait. I think it's going to do its job. It felt nice and buttery.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. That's so, right. Yeah, that's what's in our saddlebag. And along with what's in your saddlebag here, the Upshift Podcast, we always do Safety Corner, and Brian kind of jumped the gun on there and threw it all in. But, yeah, check the air pressure in your tires, because, you know, maybe your bike's been sitting for a while, or maybe you've been out riding it and you hadn't checked it and you got 24 PSI in your rear tire.
And I think everybody that you buy a motorcycle from has low air pressure, because all the tires are bad. And
all the time. Yes. Yeah. They're like, hey, we're going to sell this bike on Marketplace, so don't pump up the tires and tell them that they were bought last summer. So, that's another thing. Check the dates on your tire. Well, if you bought a used bike, like me and Brian, we buy used bikes, check the date. If they're over 2 years old, get new tires. Please, by all means. It's not that expensive. If you own a motorcycle and you can't afford to buy parts, you probably need to sell it.
Yeah, you should.
And just get out. I mean, and I say that funny, but honest. I mean, this is your life you're talking about. So wear a good helmet. I just ordered a new Bell SRT. Have you ordered yours yet?
Not yet. I should have ordered. I missed out. Bell was having a sale right on from their website. They were having a good sale. It was yellowish color one.
Okay.
I should have just bought it, and I slept on it again. And then I go back to the website, and I sold out of my, because I really wanted to try one on. So
that's
So I went. Me and the Voice of Reason were just driving around. We went to a couple different Honda shops trying to find some Bell helmets, and we found some, but we couldn't find the modular ones.
Yeah.
But I tried on a Bell one, and the guy says they're all similar sizes. So I think I got my size that I need. So now I'll go back and I'll buy one. I think I'm just going to end up getting the matte black one.
Okay. Is there a cycle gear near you?
I don't think so. I'll have to check.
I know that they have every brand they sell. They have their kind of their deal is, hey, we got them in stock for you to try them on, because there's no return on helmets.
Okay. Yeah. So that, I'll have to look that up. I don't think there is. I've never seen one. So.
Okay. And yeah. So yeah, you might want to check that out. But yeah, I just got a new one. But yeah, always check the air pressure in your tires. And I say that to myself, and I'm talking to our listeners here too, but I'm bad about that, pulling off, and then like, when was the last time I checked this?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done it either. I already had the compressor out, I had the gauge out.
Yeah, so. Yeah. What's a few minutes, you know, to go and then have an enjoyment ride, you know, rather than being on the side of the road, calling your buddy or the Voice of Reason, hey, come get me, because my tires come off the rim here and stuck on the side of the road.
And plus, if you're riding an FXR and you have low air pressure, then you go to the gas station and put in your put in air at the gas station. I would bet you that a guy walks up to you and says, "I used to have one of those motorcycles."
And the compressor at the gas stations now, you have to pay for it, and it's a long stem, and it doesn't have a 90 on it, so you can't put air in a 16-inch rear whip.
This is true.
But anyway, that is the Safety Corner and what's in your saddlebag here on this episode of the Upshift Podcast. If you have listened this long, again, thank you for supporting us. So yes. Brian, tell them where they can follow you on Instagram.
Instagram, the Upshift Podcast _NH. Give me a follow. Shoot me a message.
Yeah. And they can follow me at the Upshift Podcast and the Upshift Podcast on Facebook, too.
Yes. Facebook. Comeback.
Yeah. Making a comeback. Yeah. But no, we've enjoyed this. We just talk about motorcycles on this podcast. If it's your first time tuning in, thank you. Like I said, give us a 5-star review. You can listen to us on Apple Podcast, Spotify, any podcast platform. We are on there. But thank you again for listening to the Upshift Podcast, and we are out.